Once again, I do welcome you this morning. And you can look up here and know that this is one of the few times in this Church of Christ when you know what the preacher is going to preach about. There are very few times that that is true. But on this Easter, on this Sunday that is set aside for what we call Easter, that's exactly what I'm going to preach about this morning. We've come here to think upon Jesus Christ, but more fully, that period of time that the full purpose of what Jesus came into the flesh for. And there was a purpose, a specific purpose. And I'd like to read of that for you out of the Book of Mormon. On page 673, this is 3 Nephi, the 12th chapter, starting with the 21st verse. Verily, I say unto you, that ye are built upon my gospel. Therefore ye shall call whatsoever things ye do, call in my name. Therefore, if ye call upon the Father for the church, if it be in my name, the Father will hear you. And if it so be that the church is built upon my gospel, then will the Father show forth his own works in it. But if it be not built upon my gospel, and is built upon the works of men, or upon the works of the devil, verily I say unto you, they have joy in their works for a season, and by the end cometh, and they are hewn down and cast into the fire, from whence there is no return. For their works do follow them. For it is because of their works that they are hewn down. Therefore remember the things that I have told you. Behold, I have given unto you my gospel. And this is the gospel which I have given unto you, that I came into this world to do the will of my Father, because my Father has sent me. And my Father sent me that I might be lifted up upon the cross, and after that I had been lifted up upon the cross, I might draw all men unto me. That as I have been lifted up by men, even so should men be lifted up by the Father to stand before me to be judged of their works, whether they be good or whether they be evil. And for this cause have I been lifted up. Therefore, according to the power of the Father, I will draw all men unto me, that they may be judged according to their works. That is the purpose of Jesus Christ. That is why we have gathered this day, to think upon those things, that you and I might have that opportunity of eternal life. And without that period, that short period, 9 or 10 days is what it took. 9 or 10 days, this could not be accomplished. And as we sit here and we ponder upon those things, I want you to think upon the fact that you and I would have no hope without the death of our Savior upon the cross and His resurrection. Absolutely no hope. Our only hope in this life is Jesus Christ and the life to follow. Paul makes the statement that if we have hope only in this life, we are of all men most miserable. Most miserable. And I want you to remember that it's quoted in the Book of Mormon, men are that they might have joy. Joy in this life and joy in the realization that there is hope in Jesus Christ. Hope in eternal life. Hope because He died on the cross. And not only that He died on the cross, but that He rose again. He rose from that grave. You know, this is an event that was prophesied hundreds of years ago. Every event leads up to this. Every story in the Bible, in the Book of Mormon, points to this. We look at the children of Israel. Some, Harvey will probably tell me I'm wrong, but about 3,300 years ago when they were led out of captivity, out of Egypt. I believe I'm pretty close on the date. Approximately 3,300 years ago. 3.5 million. 3.5 million people led out of Egypt. It sounds like a lot of people led from captivity unto freedom, unto life. But it pales. It's so small when we think upon that captivity that we are led from through the acts of Jesus Christ. I believe there's about 5 billion people in this world now, 5.5 billion people that live in this world. And I want you to think that most all of those 5.5 billion people are going to go down into the grave, and a great majority of us here are going to the grave before our Savior comes again. Every person, every child, every woman that has ever lived will rise again. Will rise again because of this act. Because of this sacrifice. Think upon that. I want to read in Isaiah. The 53rd chapter. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. With His stripes, you are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all the sin in the world. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter. And as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut out of the land of the living for the transgression of my people. Was he stricken for your sins? He was stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. So as we think upon these things, these most important events, and it is the most important event ever to take place, I'm going to read. And I'm going to read from all four of the Gospels. They tell of these events, and they read the same. Yes, they do. They read the same. In John, the 12th chapter. Starting with the first verse. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. And there he made him a supper. And Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief, and had the bag, and bare what was put therein. Then said Jesus, let her alone. Against the day of my burying, has she kept this? For the poor always have ye with you, but me ye have not. Christ realized that he was going to die. At this time, our Savior knew that for what he came to earth for was going to happen. And it was going to happen very, very shortly. He was suffering. He was suffering, knowing what was going to transpire. You know, I think all of us have had a small portion of this, of the suffering, of knowing what was going to happen. I can remember when I was a teenager, 12, 13 years old, around that age, my folks were mighty good to us, and actually my mother and my father would let me practice driving at 12 or 13 years old. I know I didn't let you guys do that, but times were a little different. They'd let me back up and down the driveway with my mother's 58 Cadillac. I remember that so well. And I was somewhere around, I don't know whether Mike remembers this or not, but I was around 12 or 13, and I was doing just that. And I remember I got in the garage, and I missed the pedal. And I hit the back of that garage with that 58 Cadillac. So I backed it out of the garage, and I went in. And I told my mother. And she came out, and she looked at that, and she said, go inside and just wait till your father gets home. I see smiles. I think this has happened. I think this has happened to most every one of us. And I went inside and I laid on my beds for something like 4 or 5 hours. I didn't move. And I, in my mind, I was contemplating the suffering that was going to be mine. Yes, I did. And it was awful. I can remember that suffering to this day, and it was awful. Now, I have to tell you that my dad was a softie. I have to tell you, my dad was a real softie. He came home and looked at it, and he said, oh, we can fix that. You know, it could have happened to any of us. Bob's looking in disbelief at that. But, yes, that's exactly what he said. I think Mike will verify that. But during that suffering and during those times when this happens to us, we can have a small feeling of what was going on in the mind of our Savior at this time. If we will. The suffering that was His. I'm going to read on. Continue to read in John. That 12th chapter. And on the next day, much people were come to the feast when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him and cried, Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. And Jesus, when he had found a young ass, set thereon, as it is written, Fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, the King cometh, sitting on an ass's colt. These things understood not his disciples at the first. But when Jesus was glorified, then remembered they these things were written of him, and that they had done these things unto him. And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. And Jesus answered them, saying, The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. Not only did our Savior know that he was going to die on the cross because his Father sent him to do this, he knew why. He knew that he was dying for you. He knew this is the only way it could happen. He knew from the beginning this was the only way it could happen. He that loveth his life shall lose it. And he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now my soul is troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. And the people, therefore, that stood by and heard it, said that it thundered. Others said, an angel spake to him. Jesus answered and said, this voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. He knew what manner of death he was going to die. He knew he was going to die on a cross. He knew he was going to be scourged. He knew he was going to be mocked. He knew he was going to be spit upon. He knew he was going to suffer as no man has ever suffered before or has since. But he knew the purpose. Return to Luke, the 22nd chapter of Luke. And when the hour was come, he sat down, and the 12 apostles with him. And he said unto them, with desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you. This is all part of it, folks. He came into Jerusalem upon a donkey. And we look at that, and we think about that, and we think, and the world portrays this as a glorious thing. It wasn't a glorious thing. It was a marvelous thing for us. But it was a horrible thing for him. He was riding to his death. And he knew it. He was entering into Jerusalem to be crucified. He was entering into Jerusalem to be mocked and spit upon and scourged and whipped. And he knew it. And as he gathered together his 12 disciples to eat with them the last time, the very last time, it was upon his heart. Because he was flesh. He was flesh like you and I. He didn't have, and he didn't want the pain to be taken away. He wanted to do the will of his Father. He felt it. He felt the anguish just like you and I feel that anguish and that suffering. It was part of it. Yes, he was the greatest that ever lived, but he felt like you and I feel. No different. He felt that anguish and suffering that I felt as I lay on that bed for 5 or 6 hours and knew that my life was going to come to an end. I knew it wasn't, but he knew his was. And he rode into Jerusalem to fulfill. This is the way the Father chose to glorify him. And he accepted that role. And he sat down one last time. One last time with those that he loved most precious, his family. Think about that. Think about that. He sat down. Can you imagine? Can you imagine yourself sitting around your dinner table knowing it was the last time that you would sit with your family, with your sons, with your daughters, with your grandchildren? Can you imagine that anguish that was his? It was his at this time. Can you imagine Bob sitting the last time at your dinner table with your son Jeff? And when the hour was come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him. And he said unto them, with desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you. This is underlined in my Bible. Before I suffer. I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof till be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine till the kingdom of God shall come. And he took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave unto them saying, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, this is the cup of the New Testament of my blood, which is shed for you. It's somewhat like the last meal of a condemned man. Somewhat like it. The very last meal. And he chose to share it with those that he loved. And he chose to do it. For you and for I. Are we ready for the second song? Seems unfair I have to come and preach after that, doesn't it? After that Last Supper, our Savior wanted and needed strength. He needed support. He was weakened as you and I would be weakened. And where did he turn? We know where he turned. In the 26th chapter of Matthew, then cometh Jesus with them into a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, sit ye here, while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. "Tarry ye here and watch with me." And he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." And he cometh unto his disciples, and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, "What? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak." He understood. He understood this because he was flesh at this time. He understood their weakness. And he went away again the second time and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me except I drink it, thy will be done." And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed a third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples and saith unto them, "Sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed unto the hands of sinners." He had all the same human desires and anxieties that you and I have at this very time, at this very day in which we live. But he overcame them, and he did the will of his Father. They were not taken away. You know, I'm sure I have a lot of failings as a father. A lot of failings as a father. And I know that one of the failings that I have as a father is that I would like to take all the difficulties and all the pains that come upon my sons away from them. I would like their lives to be absolutely perfect, without difficulty, without problems. But I know within my mind that that is not the will of our Father. I know that He knows what is best for my sons and their wives and future wives. He knows what is best in their lives. He also knows that in these difficulties and these problems, that they will learn to rely upon Him and His strengths. And they will call upon Him instead of Dad, "If I will allow this to happen." They will call upon Him the way Jesus called upon His Father at this time. And His Father did not take this cup away, but He gave Him the strength to deal with it. I know that in my life it's something that I'm going to have to overcome and recognize and realize that difficulties come upon all of us. And allow my sons and my daughter-in-laws to go to the real source, to go to their source as Christ went to His. And he prayed, and they came, and they took him. And they that had laid hold on Jesus led him to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were assembled. But Peter followed him afar off unto the high priest's palace, and went in and sat with the servants to see the end. Now the chief priests and the elders and all the council sought false witness against Jesus to put him to death, but found none. Yea, though many false witnesses came, yet they found none. At the last came two false witnesses and said, "This fellow said, 'I am able to destroy the temple of God and to build it in 3 days.' And the high priest arose and said unto him, 'Answerest thou nothing? What is it which these witness against thee?' But Jesus held his peace. And the high priest answered and said unto him, 'I adjure thee by the living God that thou tell us whether thou be the Christ, the Son of God.' Jesus saith unto him, 'Thou hast said. Nevertheless, I say unto you, hereafter shall ye see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of glory.' Then the high priest rent his clothes, saying, 'Thou hast spoken blasphemy. What further need have we of witnesses? Behold, now ye have heard his blasphemy. What think ye?' They answered and said, 'He is guilty of death.' And they did spit in his face and buffeted him, and others smote him with their palms of their hands, saying, 'Prophesy unto us, thou Christ, who is he that smote thee?' And Peter saw all this. Peter beheld all this. And knew what was taking place. And he sat without. And we know the story. He was asked 3 times if he knew Christ. And 3 times he denied Christ. And immediately the cock crew. And he knew what he did. You know, I've read that many times, and I've thought about it, and I've thought, and I think we've all had this thought in our minds, you know. If I'd lived with Christ and saw the miracles, you know, I might have done better. Really? Do you really think you would have done better? I want you to think back upon your life and think about the times that you've denied Christ. Think about it. Most of us here have taken upon us the name of Jesus Christ. We promise to be His flesh upon this earth, His body upon this earth. Have I denied Him 3 times? Oh, I've denied Him many more times than that. In my actions, in my deeds, in my lack of deeds. Yes, I have. But you know, He's forgiven me as He forgave Peter. He has forgiven me. He knows what it takes. You know why He knows? He came in the flesh. He lived this life as you and I live this life, and He is a forgiving Savior. He was taken before Pilate. I've got too many scriptures. He was taken before Pilate, and we know the story. He was taken there, and He was asked the same questions. He was asked the same questions. I got to turn to it. I'm sorry. I've got to turn to it. This is in Mark, 15th chapter. And Pilate asked him, "Art thou the King of the Jews?" And he answered, said unto him, "Thou sayest." And the chief priest accused him of many things, but he answered nothing. And Pilate asked him again, saying, "Answer thou nothing? Behold, how many things they witness against thee." But Jesus yet answered nothing, so that Pilate marveled. Now at that feast he reasoned unto them one prisoner, whomsoever they desire. and that was Barabbas. But Pilate answered them, saying, "Will ye that I release unto you the King of the Jews?" For he knew that the chief priests had delivered him for envy. But the chief priests moved the people, that he should rather release Barabbas unto them. And Pilate answered and said unto them again, "What will ye then that I should do unto him who ye call the King of the Jews?" And they cried out again, "Crucify him." Then Pilate said unto them, "What evil hath he done?" And they cried out the more exceeding, "Crucify him." So Pilate, willing to content the people, released Barabbas unto them and delivered Jesus. When they had scourged him, and that means whipped him, to be crucified. And the soldiers led him away into a hall called Praetorium. And they called together the whole band. And they clothed him with purple and plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head and began to salute him, "Hail, King of the Jews." And they smote him on the head with a reed and then spit upon him. And bowing their knees, worshipped him. And when they had mocked him, they took off the purple from him and put his own clothes on him and led him out to be crucified. Luke. The 23rd chapter of Luke. And they led him to be crucified. And there were also two others, malefactors, led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to a place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him. And the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. And I have my idea which one's on the right and which was on the left. Then said Jesus, "Father," this is right after he had nails driven into his hands and into his feet. Then said Jesus, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And they parted his raiment and cast lots, and the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, "He saved others. Let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God." And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, "If thou be the King of the Jews, save thyself." And a superscription also was written over him in the letters of the Greek and Latin and Hebrews, "This is the King of the Jews." And one of the malefactors, you're going to have to forgive me. When I get to this part, I can't make it. And one of the malefactors, which were hanged, railed on him, saying, "If thou be Christ, save thyself and us." But the other answering rebuked him, saying, "Dost thou not fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss." And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, "Verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise." And it was the sixth hour, and there was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. I believe that's noon till three. Am I correct? I believe that's noon until three. And the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he says, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. And there was a rich man that came and claimed his body and laid him in his sepulcher. And on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came into the sepulcher, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulcher. And they entered in and found not the body of Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed their heads to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. We serve a risen Savior. We serve one that is risen. Because Jesus came and suffered, bled, died, rose again, so will you. So will I. And so will everyone that has ever lived and will live. Because of these things, these 9 or 10 days that transpired in Jerusalem, the world can be saved. Hope. Hope was brought into this world through this act. My last scripture. 1 Corinthians. Fifteenth chapter. Starting with the 51st verse. Behold, I show unto you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruption must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ, and through his death and his resurrection.